Well, as we've been progressing through the Gospel of Mark, we come to a story here, and actually we're going to look at two stories today about two people who encounter Jesus. Well, more than two, but this encounter was incredible in that day and age, not only for what the results were, but actually that this encounter happened at all, and that the response of Jesus Christ to this particular individual would have been so out of character with what was going on in the culture. Friends, sometimes our culture goes in a certain direction. We don't have to follow the culture of this world. We need to follow Jesus Christ and respond the way he would respond. So as we begin our story today, we see a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. Now, what do you think might be wrong with this picture in that day and age? That's right. A leper was not allowed to go near anybody. They were to stay completely away. They lived in colonies, is what they called them. And they were off by themselves in caves and lived in abject poverty. The only time they could get food was if friends or family would have come and drop off food. But they had to drop the food off far away from where they were, and then they would come and get it and then go. They weren't allowed near a crowd. They weren't allowed near anybody. But this leper, he reached a point where it didn't matter what his condition was. He was going to get to Jesus Christ regardless. And what I want to encourage you today here is this: press on towards Jesus. No matter what the crowd says, no matter what else is going on in your life, no matter how many circumstances, no matter how difficult things are, press towards the Lord. Now, here's the thing. We find this given throughout the scriptures. We'll find that there were those who looked for the Lord, found him. Now, it's not that God isn't looking for us. He is. But a lot of times, we give a token call to God. You know, it's kind of like the guy who was drowning in the ocean. He's on his way down for the third time. And just as he's ready to completely go, he hasn't prayed before, but suddenly he's praying. I wonder why. Suddenly he's crying out to God to be rescued. And oh, lo and behold, a plank appears. He grabs the plank and he hugs that plank and he's thankful that he's got the plank. But once he gets back on shore, guess what often happens? He stops praying. Right? I don't need to pray anymore. I'm glad he rescued me, but I don't need him anymore. I got what I wanted. If it's all that you think of when you're going to come to God, it's just when you're in the crisis and you get what you want for the moment, you don't have any concept of who God really is. And what I want to encourage you to do is press on to know God. Press through to know the Lord. Make it the priority of your life. You see, when you're desperate enough, that's when you do cry out, isn't it? When you're really desperate, that's when you start crying out. And when you're not so desperate, sometimes the prayers start to ease off and disappear sometimes altogether. This man, was he desperate? Do you know what leprosy did to people? Do you understand what leprosy actually was? That it actually deadens your pain nerves. Now, people would say, well, gee, that's a good one. Don't feel no pain. But if you don't feel any pain, then you happen to just lean back and lean on a stove and put your hand on it. Your hand is burning, but you don't feel it. And eventually, for lepers, most of the time, all their fingers rotted off of them. They became infected, and there was no pain. But in the end, their whole bodies would become completely deformed as a result of this. It kills the nerve endings. And it was in order to, a leper couldn't be around anybody else because they believed, and that wasn't always the case. It certainly wasn't always the case. They believed that leprosy was so contagious that if you came near anybody and touched it, bang, you had it too. So people were terrified of lepers. They didn't want to see them. As a matter of fact, a leper who came near anybody had to shout out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And everybody, whoa, backed away from them. Don't go near such people. But here's the leper. In his desperation, he comes to the last resort that he could ever have. It was a doomsday scenario for somebody who was a leper. There was no way out of this situation. But what does he do? It says a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. So he didn't matter. And remember, if you read the previous verses, Jesus was, there was a great crowd of people around him all the time. So it wasn't just that he came, you know, by himself and Jesus and the leper was there. There would have been a crowd of people there. And that leper got to the point where he says, I don't care. I don't even care if they stone me. I'm getting to Jesus. I wish you had that heart. I wish I did every day. I don't care whatever else happens in life. I need to be with Jesus. When I rise up in the morning, whatever happens in life, I need to be with Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you. Every hour, I need you. And so what does he do? He comes and he prays. And here's what he says. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. He knew. He knew that Jesus had the power to heal him, but he was also humble enough to say, well, it's up to you, Lord. He could see the sovereignty of God. He could see that God was the one that was in control. You see, not all the time is everybody always healed. Now, I know there's some people that say, no, everybody's always healed. That's not true. If everybody was always healed, the Christians would live forever. Do they? I don't think so. No. So there are times when it doesn't happen. But in this circumstance, he cries out. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And now we see that the heart of Jesus here was not just that he did miracles so that he would be glorified. He did them for that purpose. Not just that he did miracles so that the message would get out there. He also did miracles because he was full of compassion. And I want you to know that God is a good God, and he is full of compassion. And he's full of compassion in the hard places. And he does love us deeply. And he loved this man deeply. And Jesus reached out and said to him, I am willing. Isn't that a nice little word? I am willing. I want you to know this. He is often more willing to do things in your life than you're willing to come to him for it. Right? You get what I'm saying? He is often more willing to bless than you are to ask. Do you ask enough? Do you come? Are you willing to come and continually come before the Lord? If you'll come, you'll get blessed. This man came and he was blessed. So Jesus said to him, be healed. I'm willing. But he not only said to him, be healed, what else did he do? What else did he do? He touched him. He did the unthinkable. He did the most horrible thing you could ever do was to touch a leper. He reached out and he touched him. Jesus reaches out and touches the untouchable ones. Jesus reaches out and touches the broken ones. Jesus reaches out and touches the down and out ones. The ones that people turn their back on, those are the ones that Jesus will reach out and touch if they'll turn to him, if they'll come to him. He'll reach out and touch you. He'll reach out and touch. That maybe there's a person in your mind you think of, oh man, nobody wants anything to do with that person. But there is somebody who wants something to do with that person. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You know that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone, anybody. It doesn't matter what they've been through. It doesn't matter what they've done. Remember, you know, come back to that story time and again, and the Lord made sure that story was in the Bible, that thief that was dying next to Jesus. He said, I'm getting what I deserve here. Imagine. Not too many people who are being put to death are willing to say, I'm getting what I deserve. Must have been pretty bad, the stuff that that guy did, to say, I'm getting what I deserve to be crucified on a cross, that thief. But what did he do? He turned to Jesus, and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Was he a write-off? Yeah. The world has a lot of write-offs. Jesus doesn't write people off. If you'll come, he will reach out and touch you. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you reach out and touch. Praise your holy name, Lord, that you care. You care for broken people, Lord. Oh, open our eyes to see that, oh God. And Lord, we pray that we would have the same heart that you have. That we would be willing, Lord, as willing as you are, to reach out and to touch others and to help others and to bless others and to lift them up. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus, for your compassion and your mercy. Now you can imagine what the crowds would have done when they saw him touching a leper. how they would have recoiled in horror. Because once you touch a leper, you're unclean too. Once you touch a leper, you're not allowed to be around other people. You have to be observed for quite a period of time to see if you got leprosy, if you got this disease. And if the coast was clear, after a period of time, you'd have to go to one of the priests in the temple, and he'd inspect you and see, is there any white spots on you, any evidence of something starting? And you'd have to go a number of times, and until that happened, you were considered unclean. Jesus didn't go and through that rigmarole at all. He didn't. He didn't need to. And nobody told him to. Because Jesus Christ can do anything, friends. And in this circumstance, instantly the leprosy disappeared. So Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. And here's what he said. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. And this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. This is what he had to do. He had to go. You know, if he wanted to get back with his family, he had to go and be recognized that he was no longer had leprosy. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. So he didn't listen to Jesus. Now, why would Jesus tell him, don't tell anybody? Any ideas? That's exactly why. His chief ministry was to see people saved, was to see people forgiven, to see people's hearts right with God. Remember, I said to you, you could get all the healing you want, but if you die and go to hell, what's the good of it? You need, the soul needs to be healed more than the body. And I just want to tell you this, whatever circumstances you have in your life, whatever situations you face and the troubles that you have, maybe health problems, maybe whatever problems you have, your soul is more important than anything else. Being right with God is everything. And so this made it difficult for Jesus. This is why he told him, don't tell anybody, because it made it difficult for him. Because when the word was spread proclaiming everyone had happened, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus. He couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places. But the people came from everywhere kept coming to him. They followed him out into the desert. They followed him everywhere. And so he was moved to compassion for this man. But the crowds, they wanted more. They wanted to see more healing. Some of them wanted to see more, and some of them wanted to experience more of the healing hand of God. And I understand that. And Jesus understood that. That's why he said, keep this quiet. But the guy didn't. He told everybody. Now, doesn't say, you know, that, you know, Jesus didn't love him anymore. He just should have listened to the Lord. The Lord always knows best, friends, in every circumstance. So we come into chapter 2, and it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors there was no more room, even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. Again, what was he doing? The message. He was preaching the word. You have to have the message. No matter what experiences we have, we need the word of God. And this is what he was doing. Well, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now, I don't know whose house they were in, but I can imagine a little bit of protesting going on. Now, these are flat roofs. And there is an access way to get up on top of the roof from outside, but obviously there was no access from the roof down into the building, and they tore the roof open. Now, there were four guys that took the paralyzed guy. Nice to have friends, isn't it? Yep. So they decided one day, they said, Jesus is in Capernaum. We've heard what he can do. We're taking you to see him. I don't know whether the guy agreed or disagreed. He didn't have much choice in the matter, right? But they put him on a pallet, and they carried him. They get near the house. They can't get in for anything. It's so crowded. There's no way in. Impossible. The house was too full. They were not going to be deterred. Can I encourage you? Do not be deterred by the problems that you come up against. When it comes to situations in your life, when it comes to circumstances, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, when it comes to the most important thing you can do is get to Jesus. And don't you think for a second, if you start taking steps toward Jesus, that the devil's not going to show up? You don't think that he's going to try and throw something in the way? You don't think he's going to try to deflect you and deter you away from the Lord? Of course he is. Of course, that's what he wants to do. He'll do everything he can to keep you from prayer. He'll do everything he can to keep you from walking with God. Suddenly, something else becomes much more important than spending some time in the presence of the Lord. Don't think that there aren't going to be obstacles. Of course there's going to be obstacles. And those obstacles are opportunities for us to say, I am going to get to Jesus. It doesn't matter what else is going on. I need the Lord. I must be with Jesus. Regardless of anything else that happens in my life, I need to be with Jesus. Do you know it's the most important thing is to be with Jesus? Are you with him? Are you with Jesus? Do you have him in your heart, first of all? Have you trusted him as your Savior? If not, you're off in the outer darkness, and eventually you'll land there for eternity, and God doesn't want that. He's willing to touch. He's willing to cleanse. He's willing to receive. Are you willing to come? Oh, how many examples we find in the Bible of people that wanted to get to Jesus. Remember little Zacchaeus? Short little guy. Couldn't see Jesus. Nobody liked him. He was a thief, tax collector. He took taxes from all the crowd around him. And when they saw him trying to get to Jesus, little Zacchaeus, they made sure that they crowded him out. He was trying to look over. He couldn't see him. But he wanted to get to Jesus so bad. What did he do? He climbed a tree, a sycamore tree. He climbed a tree because he was going to get to Jesus one way or the other. What did Jesus say? Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. He was seeking the Lord. Remember the blind man by the roadside, blind Bartimaeus? I call him blind Bart. He was by the roadside begging, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming. He started to cry out to him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What did the crowd tell him? Shut up. Jesus doesn't want to hear you. He hasn't got time for you. He didn't care what the crowd said. He didn't care what anybody else thought. There are going to be people in your life that are going to tell you, whatever you do, don't follow Jesus. Whatever you do, don't look for him. Look everywhere else. Just when you begin to start to look for God or to walk with God, somebody's going to come along and try to steer you away from it, whatever it might be. However circumstances will unfold, there'll be someone, there'll be something. Rest assured, there will be. But I can tell you this, it's worth it to go all the way with Jesus Christ. All the way with him. The four guys get up on top of the roof. They say, we're digging a rope. And so they started tearing the roof apart. Can you imagine the rubble coming down on top of the crowd down below? Can you imagine the consternation in that room? Maybe it was Peter's house. I'm not sure. But I can just hear the guy, the owner of the house, shouting. What are you doing up there? Stop! Stop! You're tearing the roof off of my house! Can you just imagine the racket that went on in that room? And the room so crowded, nobody could get out because other people were trying to press to get in. I mean, this was a dramatic event, right? And eventually, as they're pulling the slate back and pulling it back and making the hole big enough, you gotta make it pretty big to drop a guy down on a stretcher. You can't just drop the guy, right? They had to put him down on his mat. He was paralyzed. So here they are. They got him and they lower him down. They couldn't bring him to Jesus, so they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. That means that they made a big hole. But they put that man right down in front of Jesus. And what happens as a result of this? It says, seeing their faith. Whose faith? Who? The four guys. Yeah. It was the four guys' faith. You know, I love this story. Here's why. Because it encourages my soul that I can have faith for somebody else when they don't have faith for themselves. That I can bring people to Jesus. That I can determine to keep on bringing people to Jesus. That I can take them before the Lord. Now, I can't open up a roof and drop them down in front of him physically. But what can I do? How can I bring people to Jesus? By praying for them. Consistently bringing them to God. Not giving up in prayer. Is it easy to give up in prayer? Is it easy to get discouraged when it seems like nothing's happening? Of course it is. But it's worth it to keep on praying. It's worth it to keep on calling out to God. Not only praying for them, but sharing the gospel with them. Bring them into the presence of God. I found over the years, one of the things that I found to be one of the greatest helps, in even in sharing with people, and sometimes we're sharing and we're not getting anywhere, say, okay, let's pray. Now, I don't just pray so that they can hear me say words to God. Because I believe when I'm praying, I'm inviting other, with someone, I'm inviting them to come in the presence of God with me. And the presence of God is awesome. It's awesome. He's awesome. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, I'm not going to get into this part of the story so much right now, but just we'll read it through. Next week, we'll talk about the forgiveness of sins and the healing of the leper. But some of the teachers of the religious law were sitting there, thought to themselves, what's he saying? Is this blasphemy? Only God can forgive sins. They were right. But Jesus was God. Jesus, knowing immediately what they were thinking, so asked him, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I'll prove to you the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. The man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. He jumped up and walked out of that place. Actually, it says, grabbed his mat. Imagine a man who's paralyzed jumping up. That's a miracle, isn't it? Bona fide miracle, friends. Complete in every way. He jumped up and walked out. So the faith of these four men carried a long ways, but it's because they sought the Lord. They looked for Jesus. Are you looking for him? What are you going to miss if you don't? People miss the greatest things because they don't look for Jesus. I can tell you it's worth it to look for him. Hosea 6:3 says this, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. What a beautiful verse, friends. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Oh, that you might know the Lord. Oh, that I might know the Lord. I tell you, friends, it's worth it to know the Lord. Oh, that would be the passion of your heart. If I could do one thing as a pastor to this little congregation, is that to encourage you to know the Lord. Know him more. Know him deeper. Press on to know the Lord. And as you press on to know him, he will respond, it says. He will respond. It's the truth, friends. He will respond. Ask, and it shall be what? Given to you. Seek, you shall find. Thank you, Joe. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Right? Ask, seek, knock. Praise God. What a Savior he is. What a friend of sinners he is. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how low you've been. It doesn't matter the circumstances. You can still come. Isn't that great? You can come. You can come. You can come to Jesus. He won't turn you away. Here's what it says in the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 36 says, anyone who comes to me, I'll never throw them out. I won't turn you away. Isn't that good news? I think that's good news, friends. That's the Savior. So the leper could come. So Zacchaeus could come. So the blind man could come. So the woman, it was a woman who had a daughter who was demon-possessed, was in a terrible condition. And what did he do? At first when she called out to him, he didn't answer at first. But she never stopped crying. She never stopped calling out to him. She was not giving up until she got a blessing from the Lord. What are you looking for in life, friends? Can I encourage you with all my heart and soul today? Look for Jesus. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. You see, when you think about those three things, first it says, ask. Okay, I'm asking. But then it says what? seek. You see, seeking is more than asking, isn't it? Seeking is going a step further, isn't it? Are you just asking or are you seeking? But then again, knocking is more than just seeking. Knocking is like, I want in, right? Let me in. You know, that story comes out of an illustration that Jesus gave about a guy who had gone to bed with his family. His children were all in bed, and the neighbor shows up banging on the house door, crying out to him, I need some bread. I got strangers who came, and I have no bread in the house. I need you to get me some bread. Oh, my children are in bed. I can't get up, he says. But what does the guy do? He won't stop pestering him, won't stop knocking on the door. And Jesus actually tells that story to encourage us to get to seek him, to look for him, to knock, to go farther with God. To persevere in prayer. That's right. Another story, he said, that people ought to pray and not faint. About a woman who had an unjust judge. And the judge would not rule in her favor, even though she was supposed to be ruled in her favor. But he was unjust. If he could get money from her, then he would have ruled in her favor. But she kept pestering him. And finally, he said, I can't stand this woman anymore. So I'm going to give her what she wants just so I get rid of her. So Jesus used that illustration. Now, is God not more gracious than the unjust judge? If in the world, if an unjust judge will give the woman what she needed because she drove him crazy, how much more will God hear and answer you if you're willing to come? Are you really willing to come? Or are you like the one that grabs the plank on the way down and as soon as he gets to the shore, forgets the mercy and the grace of God? Why doesn't something stick? How come I can't seem to get the victory in this? Are you still praying? Are you still seeking God? Or are you only praying whenever the trouble is there? Let me encourage you. God will take you all the way. You can have as much of God as you want. How much do you want? And how much is he? How much is there? More than you could ever imagine, friends. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper with God. And you will not be disappointed with what you discover in seeking the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. For yourself, yes, and for others as well. As we saw with the four guys taking the paralyzed guy in front of Jesus. So what can I tell you today? What's my encouragement to you from the Word of God today is press on to know God. Persevere in prayer. Seek the Lord. Call out to him. Look at this verse. Look at what it says. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. Let's go farther to know him. And what does he say? He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. It usually rains in early spring, doesn't it? Yeah. And dawn usually shows up. It has since the dawn of time. So as surely as that, he says, he will respond to us. He will respond. He knows your heart, friends. And he's looking for the heart cry. Because he knows if it's not that, then all you're doing is looking superfluously. You're just looking for the moment. You're not really seeking the Lord. And if you don't really seek him, you're not really going to find him. You know, I've urged people over and over again, you need to go all the way with Jesus. And most people say, well, I got a problem and I want God to fix it. This is really what's going on. I want God to fix my problem, but I'm not really interested in going all the way with him. Then you're going to miss. Don't miss the real thing. Press on to know the Lord and he will bless you. He'll bless the socks right off of you. He's good. Always good. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. And Lord, we ask you to encourage our hearts. Lord, lead us. Lord, lift us up. Lord, carry us. And Lord, when the devil puts things in our way, Lord, grant us the grace to press on through, to pray to you, to seek your face. When obstacles come, Lord, give us the mercy and the grace to realize it's more important to be with you and not to be turned away, Lord. Whether it's the roof where there's no way down, Lord, whatever it might be in our lives, we pray that we will press on to know the Lord. We ask for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Father, bless our food and bless